Hi, I'm Siobhan, your sales how-to gal, bringing you a special episode of the Sales for Lawyers podcast. Today, I will be doing what we're playfully calling a podcast face-off with a journalist, Diamond Michael Scott, who is talking to me about my new book, 52 Sales Tips and How to Use Them, and I'm talking to him about his experience as a journalist and how sales and marketing folks can connect with journalists and get our message out to our prospects through the media, through earned media. So that is what this episode is about, and I just think we should hop right in. How you doing, Michael?
Sounds great. Thanks for inviting me. This sounds like fun.
Awesome. So, Michael did an interview with me a couple of weeks ago for his Great Books, Great Minds blog. And at that time, I said, you know what? You have to come on my podcast.
So, thank you.
So, you're the journalist. Why don't you start off?
Okay. Well, just for the listeners, a little bit about my background. I'm a Midwesterner, a proud graduate of The Ohio State University, and spent many years in healthcare. And then in the early 90s, after my mother passed away, ended up on the speaking circuit, which took me to 46 of the 50 states across the country.
Awesome.
But what I realized was I had another gift, which was the art of writing. And so I jumped into the journalistic field, first started out writing about cities, urban economic development. I'd go into different places and write up feature pieces for various print and digital publications. And then I got involved in the cryptocurrency and blockchain world, which was a whirlwind just around the time that crypto was starting, Bitcoin was starting, and became one of the first full-time cryptocurrency journalists. But out of all of this, Siobhan, that was, was this thought in the back of my mind that my love for books was obviously at some point going to capture all of my time, energy, and attention. And so I am now curating a movement, as I call it, called Great Books, Great Minds, fostering a more free, connected, and expansive world, one book at a time. And that's how I stumbled upon you and your book right there on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, it was really great talking to you for the blog, and I hope I said some things that will be useful to your readers. I know what would be useful to my listeners, though. This is a sales podcast, and one of the tips or tactics that that salespeople use and sales and marketing people use to get their message out is traditional media outlets. So I'm wondering, how would someone go about forging a relationship with journalists, producers, and others in traditional media? Just give us your general thoughts on, well, you know what? Why don't you tell us how you go about finding topics or finding people or things that are interesting? What is your process so that we can sort of make ourselves seen to where in places where media folks might find us? How about that?
Well, yeah, that sounds good. Well, probably the best way to describe it for me is I am Savannah Curious George. I'm just curious about everything and anything, and with that comes my love as a voracious reader of books. I also subscribe to about a half dozen publications, and so what I tell people all the time, in fact, I've got a team of writers who are a part of something that I kind of do secondarily as a senior editor of a publication. And they're always asking, how do you come up with these creative ideas to pass on to us? And my response is, you know, you can do the very same thing by just being curious about the world, about the emerging trends that are occurring. And so to answer your question, I get a lot of ideas from books that I've read. I get a lot of ideas from publications that I take in on a regular basis. I get a lot of ideas from random organic conversations that I have with folks. I'm one of these people that talks to anybody and everybody whenever I'm out. I just got back just a little bit ago prior to our interview here. I was down at my local coffee house, and the person next to me is here on residency here in Denver on a residency program. So we talk a little bit about her mechanical engineering background and how that kind of plays into her medical school pursuits. So again, to answer your question, I'm just curious, George, constantly looking for ideas. There are a lot of them out there, and there are a lot of them that tied, you know, to whatever your particular niche is. Those of you that are listening in, you know, relative to your business, I would just encourage you to just be very, very curious about the world and how that integrates with what it is that you offer in terms of a product or service.
Okay. Makes sense. Now, do folks ever reach out to you and ask you for coverage? What kind of outreach is effective if you want to be proactive with journalists?
So I am heavily on LinkedIn. I have, because my primary niche is around authors and thought leaders and experts, I have people reach out to me on a frequent basis, wanting to kind of get some media buzz for whatever it is that they're doing. And so the social networks offer a golden opportunity to, to really take that step and connect with folks that can kind of help you along the way. LinkedIn, as I mentioned to you, has been my go-to for many years. But I'm also on a platform that I want to just kind of give a shout-out to. It's called Quoted, Q-W-O-T-E-D. I believe it's quoted.com, where you can literally set up a profile as a thought leader, expert, business owner, in the hopes of being able to connect with media experts. It's a platform that's kind of all-inclusive with media folks reaching out to folks like yourself, Siobhan, if they're looking for expertise in the area of sales. And as well, you can reach out to journalists and media professionals to, find out what they're looking for relative to stories and how you can create some buzz and media attention around what it is that you're involved with.
That right there, that statement right there was worth whatever time people are spending listening to us today. I had never heard of that site, and there's probably a lot of others who didn't. And there's a wealth of talent out there who don't know how to bring their thoughts and their expertise to the public. So that's very important information that you've given them. Finally, before I let you off the hot seat, what are a couple of like things that are annoying, some do's and don'ts, mostly don'ts, that we shouldn't do if we're trying to engage with the media? What annoys you with people who may be trying to gain some earned media?
Oh, boy, you're asking a loaded question there, and I definitely have a response to that. I am just absolutely shocked at the number of people that I interview that they present themselves as being the foremost authority or expert or someone that you can turn to from a value-added standpoint for whatever product or service that they're offering that can't articulate what the heck it is that they're offering or what it is that they're doing, or they quite know where to start. And so I, you know, encourage all of you that are listening to, you need to be clear, even if you've got it written out in terms of what it is that you are presenting to journalists and other sorts of media professionals, so that they can effectively serve as your advocate. It's frustrating, and I feel like I've had times where I have felt like folks have literally wasted my time because they're unclear, and it just shocks me. You know, they may have more clearly articulated it on their LinkedIn page or in social media or on their website, but when I actually have the opportunity to talk with them directly, it's as though they have no idea as to how to steer the conversation. You've got to help us, you know, in order for us to be an advocate for, you know, those of you that are listening. You've got to be very clear in your articulation in terms of your value proposition, in terms of connecting the dots with whatever publication. Do your homework. You know, if it's a food publication or some sort of business publication, do some research on that publication so that you're clear as to how to articulate and craft your message to really tailor to what they're looking to deliver to their audience.
Awesome. Perfect. Okay. Well, my audience has a short attention span. They usually listen to this in the car, so I want to keep it within the commuting time and,
right.
switch over to the points that I wanted to deliver this week to the audience. And if I fail to do so, I'm glad I have you here to
we'll keep you off track.
Ask me whatever I need, you know, to be asked in order to deliver this message. What we advertised that I would talk about is how to stay connected with your client profile so that you don't have to reconnect. One of the things I hate is when someone I haven't talked to in 8 months says, oh, I just wanted to check in and reconnect. Well, why didn't you stay connected to begin with? You know? So that's what my remarks are going to be about. And the reason those remarks are important is because we're coming out of this COVID moment. I hope we're coming out of it, and we're, you know, trying to get back to normal, and hopefully you've been staying connected, but if you haven't, let's kind of start doing that now. Let's get back into reconnecting with your prospects so that you can get back to business as normal now. So in my book, 52 Sales Tips and How to Use Them, there are a number of tips about staying connected. And the way that I suggest people stay connected is with value-filled touches in appropriate intervals, depending on your audience. And, you know, a newsletter is not it, because a newsletter is generally focused on you. And to be really honest, people aren't interested in you. They're interested in themselves for the most part. So your touches need to give some sort of value to your prospect and in periodic intervals. For example, this podcast is one of the ways that I stay connected with my prospects. I send them a notice. They get a notice whenever a new podcast is out, and the podcast is always something that they can use to improve their sales and marketing endeavors. So there are a lot of different ways to do it, and recently I was watching television. I don't watch Dr. Phil, but I saw a commercial for the Dr. Phil show, and it turns out he's turned his show into Dr. Phil House Calls, which is which is perfect. He couldn't use his regular studio audience, and he needed to stay connected with his home audience and keep the show going, and he did so by going into his guest homes and having his therapy session or whatever it is that he does in their homes. And I don't watch it, but I was interested in it just as it was interesting even to me. So it must be really interesting to his audience if casual folks who don't even watch him thought that was really interesting. It was interesting because it gives him the opportunity to deliver the same value that he does when he has a studio audience, and it's something that I think he can carry on maybe in specials or something like that, even after he gets an audience back in his studio. So I guess what I'm saying is whatever it is that you create in order to stay connected with your audience, you want it to be something that you can continue afterwards. I know in this COVID moment, I learned something really, really valuable that I hadn't had before, and that's how to sell low-priced items. I had no experience in selling anything that was not super expensive prior to COVID. So what I did during COVID was create a number of low-price offerings, continuing legal education courses, books. I even created a board game that I'm not going to plug today because it's not available for sale yet. So I'm going to wait until it's time to sell it. But I even created a board game. So all of those lower priced items are something that can keep you going until you get back to the point where you can sell your main product. And then once I can sell my main offering again, I can still sell the lower priced items. It's just a supplement. So that's something that also can help you stay connected with your core audience as well. So those are my thoughts on that topic.
Yeah, I love that. I love your point about touches. It's a philosophy that I have utilized for many, many years back when I first started my first businesses on the speaking circuit in terms of nurturing relationships with potential clients. Just real quickly, this was a research study that was done, I don't know if it was Harvard or Yale years ago, that found that you make one contact with someone who, essentially is a prospect, you only close the sale about 2% of the time. Two contacts, 3%. Three contacts, 4%. Four contacts, 10%. Five contacts, 81%.
Wow.
So what I learned from that is your contacts on hold, I come from back in the day, and you can probably remember this, Siobhan, as well, of when you were on the phone trying to make contacts. That was your main way of making contacts, even post or pre-internet. Now there's so many amazing ways that you can stay in contact with folks, via email. I used to send postcards, which are kind of coming back in vogue because people's email boxes are pretty loaded up. There's ways to stay in touch via text. So consider all of that to be a contact. And the last thing I'll mention is, we were talking about the media end of things, once you have a piece that's actually been written about your product, service, whatever, sending your prospects, a link to those articles, depending on what you get out of the initial conversation in terms of what they're really looking for. In other words, you don't want to just send it willy-nilly, but if there's something that particularly captures their attention and it's been written about, presenting you as an expert, definitely send it off as another way of just staying in touch. You know, oh, by the way, this was recently published, thought you might have an interest in taking a look pursuant to our conversation a few weeks ago.
That was perfect. Pursuant to, in other words, I think it'll help you based on something that we said before.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the way to stay in touch. Absolutely. So that it, again, it's not
back to their needs.
Give me something. It's let me give you something.
Right.
Exactly. I think that's kind of what I've seen missing lately. I get a lot of emails, especially since the PPP information was released to the public. So anybody can get the list of everyone who got a PPP loan. And then they have your contact information in there, your email, your telephone number. And so I've been getting a lot of emails, and they just go right to it. Hey, do you want this product? Hey, do you want this service? I don't even know you. I'm certainly not going to buy anything from you. I'm deleting the email before it can even come through. I know emails are a cheap way, you know, to market, but it can give you a bad reputation. So in that instance, it's too expensive if you're going to lose your reputation by becoming, you know, an annoying type of marketer. So I think it's really important to stress that when you do reach out and touch someone, do it in a way that is not that's not off-putting. That definitely focuses on their needs. You need to have some idea that the person is in your client profile, instead of just sending a message to every email you can come up with. You want to make sure it's somebody who, you know, might need what you have to offer, so that the message is welcomed and not treated as spam. So that's another thing, just not being annoying with your
right. Yeah, just a real quick story on that. I've had my own business since 1993, and I've got this guy on LinkedIn that keeps reaching out to me, and I know that he's looking at my profile constantly because I have LinkedIn Premium, and it shows me who actually views my, you know, who's viewing my page. And he reached out to me not too long ago and said, you know, I wanted to see if you're interested in rolling over your money, your 401k money, into another vehicle. And I was like, dude, you have no idea. You're not paying attention. Look at my profile. I haven't been in corporate America essentially since 93. So
the likelihood that you need that particular service is
exactly one. Absolutely. Yeah, I've got it all covered. I have a SEP through as a part of my business. I've had that for years, so there's nowhere that I want to roll that over to. So you're absolutely right in terms of, you know, just saying to the our listening audience, make sure that you're focusing on your value deliverables to a person or a business's needs. So critically important.
Absolutely. So let me close by just saying that in line with what we've been talking about, what I intended to do with 52 Sales Tips and How to Use Them was to create a reference book that entrepreneurs and sales and marketing folks could look to at any stage of the purchasing cycle or selling cycle, whichever one you want to call it, and find an example that would help them get through that moment. So that's why there's 52 tips. It goes through each part of the purchasing cycle and gives you an actual example from someone's business and how you can navigate that particular aspect of client acquisition or client development.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. it even helps people with their anxiety attacks. So if you're having one of those, you can find a bit in here about that too, how to get past that. So
Yeah. Well, and I'm a little biased because I've known you for a while now, but I can tell our listeners it's a great book. You need to grab it. You know, one of the things that always is running through my mind when I pick up a new book is what am I taking away from it? And this has all sorts of practical tools, things that even though I've been in the business for a while, I didn't know that I didn't know that I've actually circled back in beginning to look at in terms of integrating some new things into my space. There's always room to learn, and this book has, you know, the good meat and potatoes in terms of what people can walk away with and immediately apply to their situation.
Wow, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's thank Diamond Michael Scott for his time today. Let's also go to his blog, Great Book, Great Minds, which is on Medium. I think if you just go to Google and type Great Books, Great Minds, it's going to take you right to it. It was like the number one thing on my search when search results when I typed it in. So you'll find him there, and you'll get to meet lots of authors that he's come across on different topics that are of interest to you.
Mm-hmm. So, yep, greatbooksgreatminds.com. And thank you. You're thanking me. I'm thanking you. This has been fun, and I hope those of you that are listening will walk away with some valuable insights to apply to your day-to-day.
Awesome. I'm Siobhan, your sales how-to gal. Until next time. Bye now.